We're talking with Sean Collins, who's on the organizing committee of the Troy chapter of DSA, Democrats Socialists of America, and I believe part of the Defund Troy Police Department working group. And they have submitted a number of Freedom of Information requests to get disciplinary records related to the City of Troy Police Department and a number of particular individuals. But, you know, Sean, why don't you give us a little bit of a background? How did DSA get to this point where it felt the FOI request was needed?
Yes, yeah. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me. We landed at this next step pretty much as soon as the state legislature passed the repeal of 50A, section of the civil rights law that has for decades kept these disciplinary records, obscured from the general public. And as soon as it became apparent that the Troy mayor, Patrick Madden, and the city council weren't going to do anything to begin the process of releasing these records, we decided to file this FOIA request and, you know, basically put the onus on the city. Are they going to violate the law and refuse to release these records, or are they going to finally introduce some transparency and accountability into the Troy Police Department?
Now, have other groups around the state, tried the Freedom of Information request so far? I mean, 50A was only repealed a few months ago. Is this one of the first instances, or have other individuals been able to use the FOI to get this information?
That's a good question. I mean, I know NYCLU has filed.
NYCLU being the New York Civil Liberties Union?
Yes, correct. Yes, NYCLU submitted the FOIA request that was contested at first, but by the city, New York City, and the police department there. But it seems like that is moving forward, and they'll be allowed to release those records. But as far as I know, I haven't seen anything like this in other cities across the state. But instead, what we've seen is New York City was going to release some of these disciplinary records on their own. Utica was moving forward with releasing disciplinary records. And I believe the other city was Rochester, was also moving forward with releasing disciplinary records. And then on top of that, like other cities like Hudson and Kingston, and I believe Newburgh as well, all have taken far, it's a low bar really when it comes to proactively moving forward on reforming the police department. But at least in the cases of Kingston and all those other cities I rattled off, they've actually done something. Hudson, froze hiring of new police officers and also moved in the direction of defunding their police department. And all the city of Troy has done is create, yet another working group that is going to produce yet another report on a much analyzed and discussed topic without actually doing anything. So that's why we decided to take this first step.
Now, of course, there's been quite a lot of local activism over the years in Troy, and Black Lives Matters and others, had a rally with about 11,000 people recently. One of the issues you're particularly seeking information about is a review of the investigation into the murder by Edson Thevenin, the sergeant, I guess Randall French, who killed him, actually died from COVID. But what are you hoping to get out of the examination of the Thevenin situation?
Yeah, so that report, it's referred to as like the Rinaldi memorandum, was sought after by the police department after its own internal affairs office determined that Randall French misrepresented the facts of what happened that evening. And so got this second opinion in a fairly unprecedented move, and has since refused to release this memo, saying that 50A prohibited the release of this memo. Now they don't have the excuse, and the report, that memorandum still hasn't been released. So, it's been clear to, for a while, Justice for Demeeks, now Troy for Black Lives, has said, really since all this came to light, that Troy has been engaging the city of Troy, the mayor, the police department has been engaging in a cover-up, and to continue to not released that memorandum indicates to me that they are still, and to Troy DSA as well, that they are still engaging in a cover-up. It's very simple. They have the memorandum. It exists, you know, in a PDF form on someone's computer there in City Hall, and they could simply press send and release this document. But they choose not to. It indicates to me that they have something to hide. And so we submitted a FOIA request to see if the city will either finally press send on the PDF file to us, or if they will continue to hide and obscure it from the general public, who should know what the contents of it are.
Now, you also cite a number, DSA cites a number of individuals on the police force you want records for, and particularly you cite two police officers, Kyle Jones and Jared Hiller, who allegedly have a pretty bad record of brutality. What led you to name, you know, particular individuals to go after?
Yeah, so as well, to your point, as well as the, you know, requesting the release of all of the disciplinary records, we decided to zero in on a couple of, you know, sort of well-known bad actors. Jared Eiler has been accused multiple times of using excessive force. There's been multiple press reports of him using excessive force in like the local media. And in the case of Kyle Jones, there was you know, reports of a settlement involving him. So we, you know, after consulting with some members of the Troy for Black Lives group, we wanted to also sort of zero in on, brass and also, you know, individual officers for the release of their records.
So where do you guys go from here? You know, the free information law, unfortunately, has not exactly been user-friendly in New York State. Actually, the landmark case in New York State on the free information was actually a lawsuit that I filed when I was a law student back in 1974, 75 or so. You know, have you any indication that the city's going to comply? And if not, you know, do you have legal representation?
We don't have any indication as to whether the city is going to comply. I mean, that's part of our, you know, our thinking here too, the mayor, Patrick Madden, and other members of the city council have indicated that this is an issue that they take seriously. And so this is a really, a low bar to indicate how seriously they are taking it. Are they going to release the records, or are they not going to release the records as the law now allows? If they're not going to, you know, again, it, you know, it just sort of iterates, you know, reiterates that they're concerned about, you know, the introduction of sunshine into this dynamic, right? And so, you know, I think we are, you know, we're waiting to see how they respond, and then if they release the records, fantastic. If not, we'll have to go from there in terms of next steps, and including, you know, an appeal and hopefully, you know, potentially, or not hopefully, but rather, you know, any potential litigation that might have to come from there.
Right. So we only have 90 seconds left. I mean, you know, the rally that took place a couple of weeks ago was enormous, particularly for the size of Troy being a relatively small city. And Troy is unusual. And then you have a very split city council. Democrats have a slight edge, but one of the more progressive members were not reelected. And it's always not exactly clear where the mayor stands on anything. Goes between the two factions. In the last minute, you know, what do you really hope that the city is willing to do in terms of reining in its police department?
I think, you know, in a city that spends nearly, you know, somewhere between 25% to 30% of its budget police, our broad goal, our big goal is to dramatically reduce that budget line. We are a city of 50,000 people with over 120 uniformed police officers. There's no need for, one cop for, I believe it's like one cop for every 425 residents. On top, that's not including like, you know, sheriffs and other, you know, law enforcement agencies that operate in the area, right? And so we have too many police. The police are incapable of addressing a lot of the issues that face the city of Troy. That money would be better utilized towards other things like other social services, general services. You know, one doesn't have to move around Troy that much to see, you know, that the infrastructure is in disarray, and other things, the poverty across the city. So that money could be put to better use in other places.
So I want to thank Sean Collins from DSS for joining us. I'm sure we'll be following up to see how the FOI request is going, and certainly an issue of police reform. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.